Morning, we looked at Luke chapter 13, where we saw a woman with a spirit of infirmity. Jesus explained that in Luke 13, 16, by saying that whom Satan hath bound. So this woman, who was a daughter of Abraham, had been bound by Satan. In other words, Satan had made inroads into her life, established a grip upon her life, and even though she had a position of honor and privilege, her life was greatly hampered, greatly confined. Again, he compared her to the ox and the mule that would be tied in the stall. And all of that serves as a warning to you and I. It's a frightful possibility in our lives that Satan make inroads into our life and get a grip in whatever area of our life. In whatever area that Satan gets a grip in, he will not be satisfied in one area. It'll also affect other areas. So we must realize the gravity and the seriousness of dealing with Satan. And again, what Satan did to this woman, he desires to do to us. He attempts to do to each of us. And again, we must realize the gravity and the seriousness of that. We don't know how and by what means Satan got hold of this woman, but he did. He did. And he seeks to do the same to you and I. That should never be taken lightly. That should never be ignored. That Satan is real. He seeks to get a hold of God's people. And we want to speak upon that subject tonight, the avoiding the grip of Satan. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, very familiar verses of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read verses 8 and verse 9. Be sober, be vigilant. It's two commands. The reason, because your adversary, the devil, there's a comparison, has a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour or consume and destroy. Whom, that is Satan, resist, and here's how we do that, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We see here that Satan is described. He is described as an adversary. It says, your adversary, the devil. Now, an adversary is one who contends against us, one who oppresses, one who resists. And Satan is an adversary. He is an opposer. An adversary is one who is against the well-being of another. And Satan is an adversary. That is, he is against our well-being. He's always against our well-being. He's never for us. He's always against us. We see Satan is an adversary. An adversary is someone who antagonizes. An adversary is an opponent. An adversary is someone who has hostile feelings toward us. And Satan is an adversary. Now notice what it says. It says, your adversary, your adversary. So it is a personal enemy. He is not just the enemy of someone else. He is our own personal adversary. And this is true of all of God's people. And we see he makes that plain in verse 9. He says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. You and I, each as individuals, have a personal adversary, and that is Satan. And we're not by ourselves in this situation. We see that all of our brethren, all of our sisters in Christ have the same adversary. And the devil has the same desire toward each one of us. Your adversary, and then he tells us who our adversary is. The devil. The devil. He's identified as the devil. That is, he is the diabolos. That's the Greek word for devil. The diabolos. It's where we get our word diabolical. So he is the diabolos. The devil is a name that is applied to Satan. It's applied to Satan in the Old Testament. It's applied to Satan in the New Testament. He's also called Beelzebub. Matthew 12, verse 24, meaning that he is the prince of the devils. That is, he is the prince. He is the ruler of demons. Demons are real. Demons are active. Demons are more active all the time. Demon possession is more common all the time. And Satan is the prince. He is the ruler of demons. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11, he is called Abaddon, meaning destruction. It describes his character. It describes his intent. Also in Revelation 9, verse 11, he's called Apollyon, meaning one that exterminates. So our adversary is known as destruction. Our adversary is known as one who exterminates. We had better take it seriously. He is called Belial in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 15, meaning that he is vile, meaning that he's evil, meaning that he is worthless. He's also referred to as the dragon, which again explains his character, explains his work. He's the father of lies. He's the god of this world. He's Lucifer. He is the old serpent. That means he's crooked. He's poisonous. And he conceals himself. And he is our adversary. We see he's the prince of the world. He's the prince of the power of the air, which is another way of saying he's the prince of demons. He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Every lost person is a child of disobedience. And it is Satan's spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Satan is not inactive. He works. And he works in the children of disobedience. He's referred to as the tempter. He's the wicked one. He's also said to have a kingdom. He has a kingdom. And all of this points to the character of Satan. He is the very embodiment of evil. The Bible teaches that he's proud. He is powerful. He is wicked. He is deceitful. He is destructive, and he's our enemy. He is the enemy. He is the enemy of every single human being. He is the enemy of every child of God. And the basis of this enmity is that he is the enemy of God, that he hates God. He hates truth. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of truth. And he's the enemy of God's people. Your adversary, the devil. Now, notice what he seeks to do. He's presented here as a roaring lion, which symbolizes the fact that he's fierce. He is cruel. He is full of fury. He is bloodthirsty. He is savage. And as time goes on and as we get closer to the end, Satan knows that his days are numbered. He becomes more and more enraged. and more intent on bringing about destruction. He has no pity. He has no pity for any human being. He has no pity for any one of your loved ones. He has no pity. He has no sympathy for you. He has only one thing on his mind, and that is destruction. He is as a roaring lion. He seeks to have each and every one of us as prey. Every one of us. Christ told Peter in Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. Satan hath desired to have you. And he does. He desires to have each and every one of us. He desires to make inroads into our life. And then after he has you, that he may sift you as wheat. He desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He can't sift you as wheat until he has you. Until he makes an inroad into your life. Until he gets a grip upon your life. So he desires to have each one of us. So he's not merely a figure. He's not merely an influence of evil. Certainly he influences evil, but he's more than just an influence of evil. He's not a myth. He's not a fable. He's nothing to joke about. He's nothing to fool around with. He is a living reality that desires to destroy you. Desires to destroy your loved ones, desires to destroy your family, desires to destroy all of the Lord's churches. And he will do it any way he can, and he'll use anybody he can. So we have to be certain that he does not make inroads into our life. Every one of us can become his tool. That's frightful. That's a very frightening thing. If you think for a moment that you are beyond being the tool of Satan, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. And if you think you're beyond that, I guarantee you, you probably already are his tool. He does have a toolbox. We need to make sure we're not in it. He has widespread influence. Notice he walketh about. He walketh about. The enemy, the devil, in his fierceness, in his cruelty, in his fury, walketh about. He roams the earth as the enemy of God. He roams the earth as one who hates God. He roams the earth as one who hates truth and hates man. And especially, he hates God's people. He moves all around to the extent that all are exposed to his danger. There is not a single one of us here that are not exposed to the attack of Satan. We are exposed to his influence. Everywhere you go in this world is his influence. Satanic influence goes over the airwaves. Satanic influence is in the printed page. Satanic influence is in the educational and the political arena. Satanic influence is in the business system. It's in the entertainment industry. It's in the fashion industry. It's in the religious world. It's everywhere. Satanic influence. Again, Satan isn't everywhere. He's not omnipresent. But his demons are everywhere. And he's the ruler. He's the prince of demons. Not even the house of God is a refuge from the influence of Satan. If you think for a moment that you can get into the house of God and you are exempt from Satan's attack, you're sadly mistaken. You're deceived. Satanic influence can be anywhere. It can be in our homes. The devil can get a hold of your wife. The devil can get a hold of your husband. Satanic influence is everywhere. We're exposed to it all the time. So our enemy has an influence wherever we go. Wherever we go, he has an influence. And he has his people all over that he seeks to use. And again, this one who is our enemy desires to destroy, desires to have us, desires to get a grip on our lives. He wants to make inroads into your life so he can bind you. He can't bind you until he makes inroads, until he has a place in your life. And once he binds you, you become confined. You become confined. Notice the endeavor of Satan. Seeking. That is, he goes in search of. And notice what the next word is. Seeking whom. Not seeking what. Seeking whom. That's a person. He's after people. He's not just after things. He's after people. In search of whom he may devour. He may consume and destroy. He is an enemy. And he has intentions. And none of his intentions are good. He has purposes. And he has resolve. And he has more resolve than you and I can even imagine. He's not going to give up. You may resist him in one area, he'll come back. He'll come back. He may come back to the same area. He may come back in a different area. He may try to come in another door, but I guarantee you, he'll come back. It's a constant battle. We read in Isaiah chapter 12 that his supreme motive was to become like God. And that's what led to his fall. And as a result of his fall, he is filled with hatred. He's filled with enmity. He's filled with animosity. He's filled with hostility toward God and toward God's people. And this rage only increases as time goes on. It's evil that inspires all of his activities. It's what drives him, seeking whom he may devour. From 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 18, he desires to oppose and stop the work of God. Paul said, Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. I imagine that's true almost every day. Satan in some way, whether we're even aware of it, hinders us. He's always there to oppose and stop the work of God. He stands in the way. He stands, if he doesn't do it personally, he sends his demons to do so. He stands in the way to interrupt and to stop the work of God. In 1 Chronicles 21 and 1, he endeavors to draw in the sin. We read there, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David. Satan desires to draw you and I into sin. And the more times he draws us into sin, the more inroads he makes into our lives, and eventually he has a grip upon your life. He's the solicitor to do evil. He's the enticer of all that is contrary to God. And he's our enemy. And he seeks to make a way into our life. He seeks to make a way into our individual life. Thereby he can make a way into the home. Thereby he can make a way into the church. If he makes a way into our lives, then he's in the church every time we assemble together. And if every one of us has just one way in which Satan has made an inroad into our lives, when we assemble together, that's pretty powerful. That's a lot of satanic influence. This is serious business. Satan seeks to provoke to sin. From 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, he endeavors to get advantage over us. That is, he does everything he can to get dominion. And he's not so foolish to think that he can just get dominion in a matter of seconds. He pecks away area after area after area. Before long, you're bound. But he seeks to get dominion. In any area of your life, He seeks to get the mastery. He seeks to get the upper hand. From 1 Timothy 5, verse 15, he desires to turn aside individuals. So we read there, for some have already turned aside after Satan. And oh, how we know that's true today. Many have turned aside after Satan. He desires and endeavors to turn his people aside from what is right, from what is holy, from what is pleasing to the Lord. He desires to turn us away from prayer. Every day Satan will fight to prevent you from praying. He will do everything he can to interrupt your prayer life. He'll do everything he can to keep you from the Word of God, from the ways of God, from the worship of God, from fellowship with God. He desires and he endeavors to turn us away from anything that would draw our hearts closer to God. Whatever it is that would draw us closer to God, the devil will be there to oppose it, or his demons. He desires to draw us, to lead us away from anything that would cause us to be conformed to the image of Christ. He endeavors to imprison God's people. He endeavors to distract. He endeavors to discourage the individual. And he's trying his best to make a way into your life. Always trying to get in. Always trying to get a foot in the door. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, he desires and endeavors to steal the Word of God. That is, as soon as you hear the Word of God preached, or while you're hearing it preached, he's working to steal the Word of God. Because the devil's smarter. He knows what a lot of God's people don't know. And that is, just hearing the Word of God will not really help you. And he's not so much opposed to you hearing it. He's opposed to it taking seed in your heart. And he'll do everything he can to prevent that from happening. Everything. Satan is very, very active in a church service. Matthew 13, 25, he seeks to choke the Word of God. Again, he seeks whom he may devour. Destruction and ruin are always his purpose. Always. And he's after you. He's after me. He's after each one of us. He's seeking to make inroads into our lives, and thereby binding us and confining our lives, hindering us spiritually. How does he do all these things? Well, he has methods. He has procedures to attain his goals. Power and purpose are in his methods. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, we read of his devices. That is, his plans, his procedures, his techniques, his strategies. And he has all of these concerning each one of us. He has a plan for each one here. He has a plan. He has procedures to accomplish that plan. He has techniques to accomplish that plan. He has a strategy to get a hold of our lives, to get a grip upon our lives. From Ephesians 6, verse 11, he has wiles. That is, he has tricks. He's cunning. He's deceitful. He does not come and say, I am Satan and here's what I'm trying to do. He is deceitful. He's cunning. It's a very serious matter. He seeks to blind. He seeks to beguile. That is, manipulate and seduce individuals. To manipulate and seduce the minds of God's people. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 and 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 make this very plain. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, we read of the snare of the devil. The traps of the devil. A trap that tangles, a trap that snarls. And he has traps laid for each and every one of us. And they're laid very carefully. And he strategically lays these traps. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And he knows when. And he knows where you are most vulnerable. And he knows when and where and how to use his devices. You see, he's convinced a lot of people that this is my weak area and this is the area that Satan will attack. I've got news for you. Satan will often attack your strongest area. He doesn't always just attack your weak area. He attacks your strongest area. He convinces people, I'm strong in this area. I don't have to worry about this area. You've been duped. You have to worry about every area. Every single area of your life is exposed to his endeavors to destroy. Ephesians 6, verse 16, he has fiery darts to cast at us. He's tireless in his efforts. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, the child of God, first of all, must be alert and aware. And you look around today, and God's people, for the most part, are just downright ignorant when it comes to Satan. When it comes to the devices of Satan. Satan has not changed his devices. He has not changed his methods. Oh, he has other tools to use. There's no question about that. But he hasn't changed his ways from Genesis chapter 3. You study Genesis chapter 3 and how Satan approached Eve. He still does it the same way today. There's no need to change because what he does works. You don't change what works. So our instruction is that we must be alert, we must be aware. He says, verse 8, be. Not do, be. That is a state of being. It's not an occasional act. If you just do this every now and then, you are bound by Satan. This is a constant state of being. Be sober. That is, be serious in this matter. Do not be frivolous. Do not be under the influence of outside forces. You need to be sober, clear-headed, thinking right. Be sober. And then he goes on and says, be again. Again, a state of being, not an act, but a state of being. Be vigilant. Vigilant. That is, alertly keep watch. When? All the time. Be. It's a state of being. Every moment of every day, we are to be sober. We are to be vigilant. And many of God's people are not sober. They're drunk. They're drunk with the world. They're drunk with the influence of the world. And they are a target for Satan. Be sober. You have to be sober in order to be vigilant. Be sober. Be vigilant. That is, always on guard. Always mindful. Always looking for how Satan is trying to get into your life, how Satan is trying to get into your mind, how Satan is trying to get into your home. Be vigilant. Be on guard. You cannot afford to let your guard down because he works. You cannot let your guard down in the house of God. He works. Be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. It conveys the idea of being focused, being serious about the right matters. And one of Satan's greatest tools is distraction. causing us to get off on things that really aren't important and neglecting that which is. So it's to be focused and serious about the right matters. Not being fragmented, not being diverted, not being drawn away by other matters. We exhorted in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and be sober. We have an enemy. We have an enemy that is out to destroy us, out to destroy each one here. This is not a game. It's not a game. It's something to be taken very, very seriously. It's not something that we can afford to be lax about. Just 10 seconds of being lax, he'll get in. He'll get in. The child of God is to be sober, to be vigilant. Verse 9, whom, that is the devil, who seeks to get dominion and mastery, who seeks to get the upper hand, and who has devices and wiles and snares and darts, whom resist. We are to resist Satan. What that means is we are to exhort force in opposing Satan. It means that we are to withstand the force of Satan. We're exhorted in James 4 and verse 7, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And then there's a promise and he will flee from you. He'll be back. But you resist right then, you'll have the victory. But you're going to have to resist again and again and again and again. Resist the devil. Is there ever a time when that is not in force? Resist the devil. We're always in danger. We're always to resist. Again, this is a twofold resistance. It is to exhort force against him. It is to be opposed to him. And therefore, we read in Ephesians 6 and verse 11 that we are to stand against the devil. We're to stand against Satan. We're to stand in opposition to Satan. We're to stand opposed to the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6 verse 11. It is also this resistance is to withstand. To withstand his attacks. To withstand his force. And therefore we read in Ephesians 6 verse 13 that we are to withstand the attacks of Satan. That is, we're to oppose with firm determination. So we are to oppose, fight against, refuse, and defy Satan in all of his efforts to get dominion in our lives. And this resistance is to be steadfast in the faith. That is, we're to remain steadfast, firmly fixed in place, immovable in the faith. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14 that we're to stand against Satan. It's a position of readiness. It's a position of steadfastness. Included in this resistance of Satan, Ephesians 4, 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. We are in no instance to yield to him. You give him one inch, he'll take a mile. You give him one thing, he'll take numerable things. Well, I'm just going to let him have this one area. You're a fool. If you think for a moment that you can come to an agreement with Satan and I'll just let you in this area and you just leave me alone. If you think that, you're headed for being completely under the dominion of Satan. Do not give him any place in your life. Neither give place to the devil. You don't give him any place. You don't make any room for Satan in your life. You do not give him opportunity. Because if you give him opportunity, he will take it. He will take it every time. A human enemy, you may give an opportunity and they may overlook it. They may be busy with something else. That's not true with Satan. You give the devil an opportunity in your life, he's moving in. Guaranteed. He's not going to overlook the opportunities that you and I give him. So whatever we give him, he'll take, and he'll take more. It's always true. We give place to the devil when we fail to surrender to him. Every time we fail to surrender to Satan, or to the Lord, we have given place to the devil. Every time we fail to mortify our flesh, we've given place to the devil. We've given him an opportunity in our lives. Pride gives place to the devil. Envy, anger, bitterness, all give place to the devil. When you and I make the choice not to read and study God's Word, we've given place to the devil. When we choose not to pray, we've given place to the devil. Unbelief and disobedience is given place to the devil. We have to realize that Satan is no less of an enemy today than he was before. He has not surrendered any of his power. He has not decreased in any of his hatred toward God or the things of God. You cannot give him opportunity because he'll destroy us. Satan, again, has not toned down his purposes of destruction. He has not lessened his efforts to get an advantage over us. We must not give him opportunity in our lives. Don't make any room. Don't make any allowance for Satan in our individual lives. So again, it says, be sober, be vigilant, resist. Be sober, be vigilant, resist. And we must make use of the means that God has given us. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord. Again, a state of being. Be strong in the Lord. You can't fight Satan in your own strength. You can't outsmart Satan. Be strong in the Lord. Be continually strengthened. Be continually made stronger in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need the strength of God to fight Satan. Ephesians 6 verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that